I'm teaching on the next thing, God's love. We knew we were going to come to this. It says in 2 Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not given us fear, but instead he's given us love, a huge thing. And so we're going to look at God's love here. If you like definitions, Bullinger's definition says the agape love, and this is what we're talking about, the agape love, denotes the love which chooses its objective with decision of will and a self-denying and compassionate devotion to it, love in its fullest conceivable form. That's what we're talking about. It's a spiritual love. It's not a love from man. It's a spiritual love that God has given to us. It's a perfect love because God is perfect. It's unselfish. It doesn't seek its own good. It doesn't give out or hold back according to what a person deserves or doesn't deserve. It's unconditional love. It's the highest form of love. And this is a love God has given us. So we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. So we can understand this love, we're going to look at God's love. That's where we start. You always start with God's love, you know, to understand how to love yourself. 1 John 4, and we'll start with verse 8. Says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So that's what God is. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's what God is all about. He is love. He is that fullness of that unselfish, perfect love. That's who God is. Let's go to John 3:16. You know, I was thinking about this before. How many times you think that you've turned to John 3:16 in your life? You know, and oh, go to John 3:16. Okay, I've been there a lot of times. But you know what it talks about in Ephesians? It talks about that it will take God the ages to come to show us his great love, to show us that love that he has for us. And you know, you go to John 3:16, I know that verse. It will take the ages to come for God to show us how much love that he has for our lives. So you can go there 100 more times and you still won't have it down. But you know, you pray to God that you'll get that he'll give you that great understanding a little bit more every time you turn to it. Or anytime you see it on the football field or in someone's front yard. God, just let me understand that more. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is what it is, that God so loved the world he gave. All love of God is giving. Love manifests itself in giving. That's how love is manifested, in giving. He gave his Son, his only begotten Son. This is what I'm covering, is what love is, by God showing us how he loves. He gave to a world that didn't deserve his love. He had no obligation to any of us. He gave to people that did not deserve it. That whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believes in him, it doesn't discriminate, okay? It doesn't make a distinction in favor of or against a person. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this is the highest form of love. This love that has, where you should not perish, but have everlasting life, brings the ultimate deliverance from perishing to everlasting life. It's powerful, this love. It takes you from death to life. And that love that God has is in each one of us, where we have that kind of power that we could take people from death spiritually to life. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And verse 4 and 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Should be a period there. In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. See, in love he chose us. He did the choosing. And it was according to the good pleasure of his will. It was a will he decided to choose. It was his will. So love is a decision of the will. It's not a feeling. He chose. He decided to love. He chose it. That's what love is. Not a feeling. You choose. Ephesians 2. In verse, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. This is when he loved us, when we were children of wrath. This is when he loved us, when we were dead and he quickened us. We were at the unlovable state. That's when he loved us. If you go to verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Love is rich in mercy. And mercy is withholding of merited judgment, right? It's you did not deserve to be loved. He loved you anyway. We were dead and he made us alive. And because of his great love, he gave us that life. So love is powerful. It takes you from death to life. It's very powerful in your life. Go to Romans 5. Please. Romans 5, and let's go with verse 6. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Love is not merited. We were ungodly, sinners, enemies. That's when God loved us. He's showing us this is how we love. This is how God loved. This is how we love. This love that God has given to us, if you go to verse 5, go up to verse 5, because this love is perfect, it's unconditional. You can see that it's full of mercy. It chooses its object. And this love that God so loved the world with, that he gave his only begotten son, he's given to us. In verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That shed abroad in our hearts is that Holy Ghost that is flooded, and he's given us that love that floods our heart, not just a little bit, but it floods our heart. That perfect love from God floods our heart. Go to Romans 5. No, I just did that. Okay. Oh, 2 Peter, sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. And verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, we've been given this divine nature of God. This nature of God, that is all love, which we read, that nature has now become ours. God's love is now our love because it's seed in us. you know, Holy Spirit at seed, and that by birth you become God's child with his nature, with his love in your life, which is pretty cool. Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. All my little tabs here. So we get born again. We have Holy Spirit. This love that is that God's love, that nature in him, is now in us. So we have this love in us. Okay? In Ephesians 5:1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So we can, that word followers is imitate. We can have this love that God's given to us. We can imitate God now because we have that love. Because we have that nature, that's how we can imitate God. But it says in verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So to imitate God, first of all, to imitate God, you have to have a spirit, which we do. But you also have to know God. You can't imitate someone without knowing that. So you have to know God, and you have his spirit. But it says to walk as Christ. To be able to walk as Christ, you have to know Christ. You have to know how he walked so that you can walk that way. And you can't truly walk in God's love without knowing his rightly divided word. It goes hand in hand. You can walk with God's love. You have to know his word, though, his rightly divided word, in order to do that. Go to 1 John, and I'll show you there in chapter 4. First John 4, and we'll start at verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Everyone that loves with this love of God is born of God, because you have that spirit and you know God. So that's the only way to know God is by his word, right? "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." If God so loved us when we were enemies, sinners, ungodly, if he so loved us in our unlovable state, we can love one another like that. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Let's go to 15, verse 15. See, it says God's love is perfected in you, but you have this spirit that is perfect. You have this love that is perfect, that you've been given by God, but it's perfected in us as we love one another. It's not just perfect and you're loving perfect. It's as you love, as you walk out, that's how that love is perfected. So you put the word in your mind and you walk out in this love, and it becomes perfected in our walk. In 15, verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God." You know, the only way to dwell in God is in his word, right? "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." And that dwelleth in God is to abide or remain or continue. To continue in God, continue in his word, continue in dwelling in his word. And then as you dwell in God, you will be dwelling in love. In verse 17, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." In verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." See, love is made perfect as we dwell in his word, as we walk in his word. That's how it's made perfect. And we all have fear in our lives in places still in our lives, right? But How do we get to that perfect love? Go to 1 John chapter 2. All right, and verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Whoso keeps his word, who observes it attentively, who hides it in your heart and apply it, whoso does that, verily is the love of God perfected. That's how it's perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And 1 John 5, a lot of love in 1 John. See, love grows. It grows just like you grow spiritually, just like you grow in your walk physically. When you exercise and you grow spiritually. Love also grows. Love also grows as it's manifested, as it's walked upon. The word is walked upon. And so we don't worry about in our lives that, you know, we are not loving the greatest at this moment. It's something that you keep working at. It's something you keep walking on. That love grows like anything else that God has given us. In 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that when we love the children of God, then we love God and keep his commandments. It's when we love God and we keep his commandments, then we know we are loving the children of God. That goes hand in hand, keeping God's word and loving one another. 1 John 3, in verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath his world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it's in the word and it's in our action. That's how we are to love. That's how God tells us. John 15. Let's go. John chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, Jesus Christ did that. He abided in God's commandments, and he abided in the love there. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It's not just knowing the word, but it's acting on the word, to where you lay down your life in love to one another. There's no greater love than that, to lay down your life in love to one another. And go to chapter 14, right across there, and verse 31. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. See, he says that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandment. That's why he did. He did what he did. He loved the way he loved because he loved God. And he did his commandments. And that was loving God, doing his commandments. And it's the same thing with us. Like, why do we do what we do? Why do we come here? Why do we spend money? Why do we learn the word? Why do we love one another? Because we love God. That's why we do what we do, because we love God and we keep his commandments, and then we can love one another. Next one is, chapter 13. This is my last scripture here. 13, just over. And verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. See, it's a new commandment, because love your neighbor as yourself is the old commandment, right? It's in the Old Testament. This is a new commandment. This is loving unconditionally. This is loving how God loved us. This is loving how Jesus Christ loved us. And it says, a new commandment I give you, 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So the only way people will be able to really love, to be able to be loved by God's love, the only way is by people that have Holy Spirit, that walk on God's word, that know God's word, and that can love them that way. Because Jesus said, remember Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Well, if people see you manifesting the love of God with Christ in you, they've seen the Father also. You represent Jesus Christ here on earth. You represent him with his love. You represent the love that God has given to us. You represent that to other people. So we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been given the love of God, and we've been given his word, and that's all we need to love one another. We have his spirit, we have his love, and we can love one another with God's word that's in our mind. One quote from Dr. Werwell from the Lifelines was, love is the greatest healing I know. And it is. It's the greatest healing there is out there. It's from us. To be able to go out and just love people because we have his word. We have it rightly divided. You go out and you love people, and that's what's the greatest healing that there is in people's lives. He also says in Lifelines, we stay in his presence, feeding on his word until our whole being is saturated with him. Then we go out and minister to people. So whether it's in your fellowship, you know, your little fellowship where you live, you just have that love of God and you love people, and that's the greatest healing there is. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in, you're just out in the world, you love with that love of God, and you go out and you minister to people, you deliver one another with God's love. So that's what I wanted to share.